Now, to be honest, I've had just a lot of friends in my life. This week in youth, we're doing this series called Our Stories. And this week I had the chance to share my testimony. And as I reflected after, and as actually one of the kids after actually said to me, was this fact. Man, there's been a lot of people in your life. And the more I thought about that point, and as I prepared for today, the more and more I realized of just how much I stand on the shoulders of so many people over the years, that when I was in a dark place, or there were terrible circumstances going on, that there was a coach or a friend, or a friend, or a friend, or a friend, or a mom, or a dad, or a sister, or a cousin, somebody who had some wisdom, somebody who had some input, somebody who has encouraged me. And I can even think this week, I've met with a few of you just to ask questions, to have conversations. One of those people for me, I'm going to embarrass him, he has no idea I'm going to do this, but he was my sponsor in Freedom Session. His name is Wade Oshie, and he continues to be somebody who's just advocates for me. He has my back. Who again and again, if I have a question or a thought, something that's going on, I could be like, hey, Wade, can we get together and chat? And he's like, well, I'm painting, actually. So, okay, well, I'll paint. And then he goes, why are you painting? You're doing something. Like, don't paint. But we go and have lunch and we talk. And it's a friendship. And there's so many of those people. And I sit there and I just look at that and I say, wow, God, you've put so many people in my life. So many people in my life that have helped me through difficult times, the good times, that I would not be standing here if not on the shoulders of so many people. And there's two in particular. And one of them is my wife. She's actually not here right now, so this is great, because she'd be very embarrassed. Her face might go red. I remember when we first met, we went on a date. We went to the dike. And we went for a conversation, and in that moment I thought, you know what would be good is if I just laid all on the line and tell her my whole testimony. I was like, I just want you to know exactly what you're getting yourself into here. And you know, she listened with grace. She asked questions. They were insightful. She said encouraging things. And I'm not kidding you, on that drive home, I said, she's the one. She's the one. She's a good listener, but she loves me relentlessly. And I would not be here. I would not be here today if it wasn't for my wife. And the other person who's not here as well, so this is great, is my friendship with Tim. When I first met Tim, I was pretty intimidated by him. And the reason why I was intimidated, because I was like, wow, that guy's really smart. And then I went over to his house and I went into his basement and I noticed two things. One, he had a bunch of craft beer. I'm like, whoa, that's pretty cool. And then two, he had about, I would say, 150, 200 board games. And if you know me, I'm a huge gamer. And so I was like, wow, this guy, he's actually, you know, he plays board games. And we actually started talking because we were playing board games. And over the years, we formed this relationship. And then one day he said, you know what? What would you think about maybe joining the team here at the church? And, whoa, let me talk to my family about that. All to say this. Church, I would not be here. I would not be doing what I'm doing today if not for that relationship, that friendship that I have with Tim. And again, and it was again this week, where I hit a bit of a wall and I ran into some personal stuff and I was like, man, I just have questions. And Tim had insightful thoughts. He listened. And you know what? He helped me make my path straight. He said, Randy, I think this is the way you should go, man. Let's pray about it. Tim has been a good friend. And so when I've been studying for this and researching Proverbs, I know it really hit a personal note. It really did. And as I'm going to share with you guys some illustrations of different circumstances where I maybe chose some bad friends, and I've chosen some good friends, and the influence that it can have on us. Let me pray real quick. God, we thank you so much for the opportunities to hear your word. Would I decrease so that you can increase, God, a lot less of me and a lot more of you? Would you give us ears to hear and eyes to see you? And would you be glorified? Would you be heard this morning? We pray this in your name. Amen. Growing in wisdom with friendship. So we're going to really be jumping all over the place with Proverbs, but there's two Proverbs in particular that I want to point out. The first one is Proverbs 18:24, and it says, "One who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother." And the next one is Proverbs 17:17, "A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for time of adversity." And so there's a theme of friendship throughout Proverbs, and what the book of Proverbs is pointing to is this very point. And this is the spoiler alert that this is actually will come at the end as well. And that is this: in order to grow in wisdom, you have to be great at choosing, building, and keeping friendships. There is a correlation between the wisdom that we glean and the friends that we keep. And what we hope to do this morning is just to look at that practically. How do we choose our friends? How do we build those relationships, and how do we continue to keep them? Because the correlation between wisdom is this. If I'm by myself and I'm leaning on my own understanding, you know, I'm not going to get very far because I form my own opinions about things that aren't always right. But if I go, "Hey, Pete, let's go for coffee, man. Hey, I have this thought. This just happened, right? I have this thought. Let's talk about it." Yeah, I think of it a different way. Fantastic. There it is, in action, practically. Not to lean on everything that I know, but to say, "Hey, we can do this together." Well, these verses really point to that. And what it's saying is, and we have to realize that during this time when Proverbs is written, this is in a culture that's very family-oriented, meaning that the family relationship is the most important relationship we have. And what it's essentially alluding to is this, is that a friendship in some ways is actually better than a family relationship. What it's saying is that through friendship, it's not something that just naturally happens. It's deliberate. It's intentional. That when we choose to have a friend, there's something intentional about saying, "Yes, we're going to be in relationship together. We're going to walk life out together. We're going to walk together in doing this by talking, by experiencing life, by laughing, by crying, by running, by shooting hoops, whatever it might look like, we're going to do that together." But during that time, that's incredibly controversial. Because in this culture, the family relationship is the most important one. And yet, what is it saying? It's saying that sometimes a friend who chose to be there, that even in the toughest of circumstances, is choosing, is saying, "Hey, come over. Let's go for coffee. Let me hear what's going on in your life." A great example of that playing out, and I know I talk about them a lot, and I hope I continue to talk about him all the time. I have the opportunity every second week on a Thursday morning to go in and see these omas in the library. And I'm looking, Grace, is it 65 years you've been in Ladies Society? 60 years? Maybe 50, 60 years? That's a long time. But think about this for a second. Think about being in relationship with some friends for 60 years. Think about the relationship that's built. Think about the stories that's told. Think about the circumstances that they go through naturally in life and how they're together, talking, lifting each other up, learning about the Bible, learning about each other. There is something profoundly significant when we're growing in wisdom about the friends that we're choosing. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, "Don't be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Now, I know in high school, grade 9, grade 10, I hung out with the IT department. The IT department being the computer guys. I loved board games. I loved computer games. We did a lot of software development. We were trying to learn coding. It was new at the time. And when we hang out outside of school, it would be like, hey, let's go study. Let's learn some code. Let's hang out, write code. Maybe we'll make a tic-tac-toe game on a bitmap. We were doing really neat things, right? Yeah, Bob, just keep laughing at me, man. But that's what we did. That was fun for us. Hey, you know what? It's a Friday night. Let's order a pizza. And let's ask for double meat. That's what we did. As I started to play in some sports, more and more, I'd meet a bunch of different people. And all of a sudden, this trait in me came up. And that is that I'm a bit of a chameleon. Now, let me explain. How I learned to survive when I was a kid going through different circumstances, tough circumstances, was that I would try to adapt to the surroundings around me. So if I was with one group of people like my family, I might act a certain way. When I'm outside of my family and I'm with the board game guys, I'd act a different way. But when you're with jocks and you're playing sports, it doesn't always translate. Man, I played this really sick Twilight Imperium game last night, man. And so I learned to adapt. But what happened was is I got in with the wrong crowd. 1 Corinthians 15:33, bad company corrupts good character. Now, one, I'm saying that I made a choice, that I need to take ownership for that choice. But two is, what did I do? I started hanging out with people who prioritized partying, who prioritized, let's go and have some drinks. Oh, don't worry about that. You're not of age. I've got a boot. They started prioritizing drugs. And I was, man, I don't have to feel what's going on at home or what's happened in my past. Sure, I'll take some of those drugs. And there's the downward cycle that goes. And slowly, one choice after another, after another, after another, and I look back at where I once was, and I'm so far away from those people and those relationships. That now, I'm essentially medicating myself in high school. I am falling asleep. I go home. There's nobody home. I'm by myself. I have no restrictions. I have no boundaries. I have nobody to tell me, hey, you need to be home at 10 o'clock. Are you doing your homework? I could do whatever I want. And I'd be falling asleep day after day, middle of the week, weekends, and I'm passing out. And I remember when I would go back into the IT room and some of those friends that I was with, they'd give me this look. It's like, where have you been? But they started hearing the rumors of who I've been hanging out with and what I've been doing. But there was one guy in particular, his name was Josh. He went to a church. He actually invited me to my church, first church service. I've told you about that. And I accidentally took the Lord's Supper, and I wasn't supposed to, and I got in some trouble. I didn't actually know I wasn't supposed to do that. I thought it was juice and bread. I had no idea. And I remember, though, that he wasn't a part of that crowd, that partying crowd. And anytime I came back, he's like, hey, we're hanging out on Thursday night. Do you want to come over? Hey, we're going to watch the game on Friday. There's Hockey Night in Canada on Saturday. You want to come over? Time and time again, this friend, man, he felt closer than a brother. And I was so thankful when my sister spoke up. I said, what are you doing, Randy? You're just like Dad. What are you doing? Where did I go? I went to my buddy's place. We played some video games. We chatted. We talked. A friend sticks it out. I was thankful for it. So our culture, though, which plays a significant role in friendship. So, I'm having a debate right now with Thomas. The debate right now is the cultural impact of Lord of the Rings versus Star Wars. That's our debate, right? We've been talking about a ton. And you know where I stand. Do, 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 do. You know where I stand, right? But our culture has a big part to play in what we view friendships. So did you know in the books, Lord of the Rings, that the romantic relationship that we see in the movies, the romance stuff, okay, between Arwen and Aragorn and those relationships, they're only found actually in the books in the appendices. They're not actually in the main books, they're in the appendices. But Hollywood took that and said, no, 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 we have to prioritize that love story, so we're going to put it in the movie. If you go to a store, if you go to Shoppers Drug Mart, and you go by the section, and you look at a bunch of magazines, does the magazine say, hey, so-and-so are best friends? Or does it say, hey, so-and-so are sleeping together? Guess what? It's the sleeping together. Are there apps that we swipe right and left to say, hey, do you want to be my friend? Swipe right. You don't want to be my friend? Swipe left. No. We have apps that say, swipe right if you want to hook up. Swipe left if you don't find me attractive and don't want to hook up. Our culture is at play here because our culture is saying that erotic love and sexual love and that intimacy are more important than our friendships. Our culture is saying that. And I think the wisdom that's gleaned from Proverbs is it's pushing hard against that. It's not saying that that's not important. It's not saying that marriages aren't important, that what you do in a marriage isn't important. It's not saying those things. But what it is saying is that there is a special, special relationship in a friendship. What it is saying is that there is something about a friendship that you can't get in any other relationship. Because here it is. There is not a biological necessity to friendship. If there wasn't an intimate relationship, guess what? We wouldn't be born. If there wasn't a neighbor love and a neighbor relationship, guess what? There wouldn't be safety. We wouldn't be safe. We wouldn't have police officers or firefighters. That neighbor love, that neighbor relationship, we look out for each other. It was a big part of our culture. Friendship is not a necessity, but it's very deliberate. It's very deliberate. When you have a good friend, you've chosen that person. You've said, Pete, can you be there for me? I'll be there for you, man. That's what that relationship looks like. Do we always get it right? No. But there is something about a friendship that is so different than any other relationship. So there is four ways to build these types of relationships. We're going to look at them very practically. Four things that the book of Proverbs says about building these relationships. And the first one is constancy. That it's proven over a test of time. So what it might look like is Proverbs 18:24, one who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. We've heard it before earlier today. But constancy is a way that we build these relationships, because how it plays out is this. If you have a friend and they're fair-weathered friends, so something happens in your life and all of a sudden you like phone them up, hey, this is going on in my life, and they're gone, and I'm sure we've experienced that. Those aren't the friends relationships that the book of Proverbs is relating to. What Proverbs is saying is it's those relationships, like, for instance, I can think of the Lady Society, who have there been there thick and thin, right, almost? Like again and again. Those are the relationships that are constant, that prove the test of time. Constancy. Number two is carefulness. That in those relationships, there's a sensitivity to what's going on. Proverbs 25:20. Like one who takes away a garment on a cold day, or like vinegar poured on a wound, is one who sings a song to a heavy heart. Now, how many of you guys have ever been in a situation where there's something tough going on in your life? And you go to a public domain, maybe a church, and you hear a lot of pat answers. You hear a lot of questions, maybe. And they're coming from the right intentions, but they're saying, are you okay? And then you have that same conversation, but it's that guy, Pete, who I've called, and he knows what's going on. And I say, Pete, want to go out for coffee? And Pete knows. He knows what I'm going through. He knows. And that coffee is a bit different. He's sensitive to those things that are going on. He's listening. The book of Proverbs is talking about how we choose, build, and keep relationships, friendships. Number one, how do you build those relationships? By being consistent. Number two, it's by being sensitive, by being careful with what's going on in one another's lives. But to know that when you're going through it, that person is there. Oh. Number three, candor. And I know I spelt it in American. I know my wife's going to be like, where's the U? But anyway, the commentary I looked at, I think, is American. So, candor. Meaning telling each other the truth. That in those relationships, Proverbs 27:6, wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. Proverbs 27:5, better is open rebuke than hidden love. And Proverbs 29:5, those who flatter their neighbors are spreading nets for their feet. That sometimes a real friend, those friends that are lasting, those friends that are sensitive, they also can challenge you. They can also say, hey man, you're kind of headed in a direction that's not good. Like, play this movie out for a second. If you continue down this path, X, Y, and Z will happen. How many relationships do we have again and again where it's a word here, a word there, a flattery here, oh, you're really good at that. But is there that substance? Is there that challenge? You know, I love it right now in my life. And I, again, to put it just, I'm very blessed to have good friends. One group of friends that I have, I've mentioned one of them, his name's Thomas. The other one's Andre. And sometimes we get together and we'll have some craft beer. And we'll talk about theology and mentorship and preaching. But also we talk about tough things. We talk about what's going on in each other's lives or if something's up. We talk about, oh man, that sermon, I don't know where you're going with that. But we're challenging each other. How do we build these relationships? How do we build these friendships? We're sensitive. We're careful. We're consistent. We tell each other the truth. But exhort one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hindered by sin's deceitfulness. Now, it is hard. It is hard. It is hard, and let's not lie, it is hard to have relationships where you're actually challenging each other, where you're actually saying, I'm not going to put up with your crap, or this is where you're headed, or that's a mistake, or don't do that. It's tough. And naturally, I don't think we're very good at it. The commentaries that I read, they would agree with me. We are not good at it. It's uncomfortable at times. It comes at a cost. But the friendships that the book of Proverbs is giving us a picture of is friendships that say, that's a lie. Don't listen to that. And can I go back to the culture thing real quick, guys? Everything is lying at us. Movies are lying. Reddit is lying. Twitter is lying. Snapchat is lying. Google lies. Wikipedia lies. The movies lie. Television lies. We lie. Everything around us is lying. Every day, lies. Lie after lie after lie. And if we lean on our own understanding, how can we possibly decipher all the lies that we're taking in daily? Have a friend. Pete, I'm really struggling with this, man. Pete's like, oh man, he's saying my name again. I actually warned him that I was going to pick on him. We're also going to watch the Super Bowl today, so I'm really excited about that. But if I'm struggling with something, Pete, I'm really struggling with this. Can we talk? I'm busy. It's let me check my schedule and see what time I have. I actually get off at 11 o'clock. You want to text or call, or we can meet tomorrow? Like, let's make it happen. There's wisdom in the company that we keep. There's wisdom in the friends that we make. There's wisdom. There's wisdom that's gleaned and experienced when we make a choice to say, you, would you be my person? Would you be my friend? That might not sound like that nowadays. I don't know if I text somebody and say, be my friend. It might say, hey, can we go out for coffee? Or go out for caramels. It's arbitrary as drinking coffee. I really don't drink coffee, so I don't know why I keep talking about coffee. Fourth one, counsel. Being vulnerable with one another. Proverbs 27:9, perfume and incense bring joy to the heart, and the pleasantness of a friend springs from their heartfelt counsel. Now, here's what's interesting about this one proverb, is that during the time that this is written, that word pleasantness is actually the word for sweetness. And at the time, sugar was not available. I couldn't just add sugar to my cup of coffee. I couldn't add sugar to my food. You had to deliberately seek out sweetness. So there were certain foods at the time that you could go and eat that were sweet. What it's saying is you have to be very deliberate. You have to be deliberate to find. And in that, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. When you have people that are in your corner that you're working through and you're doing life together and you're not leaning on your own understanding, but you're saying, hey guys, can you help me and keep my path straight? There's wisdom to be gleaned. There's value in that. Profound value. When I was in high school and I was hanging out with those friends, you know what? I was not telling them that my dad was struggling with heroin. I wasn't telling them that there was abuse going on at home. That wasn't a conversation we were having. We were partying. You know what? My buddy Josh knew what was going on. He knew what was going on. I was vulnerable with him. I actually let him in. And let's be real for a sec, guys. It is hard. We're not naturally like, oh, let's just open up and tell my whole story. But when you do it together, when you encourage one another together, it changes everything. So if you're to take those four things, counsel, carefulness, candor, and consistency, and you summed it up, friends always let you in, and they never let you down. Friends always let you in and never let you down. Now let's be real for a sec. That's really hard. That's really hard. Why don't we have more of these relationships? Why don't we have more of these types of friendships? Why don't we have them? And the answer is because we're not good at them. Because what I just said is not something that we naturally do. And we're like, yeah, no problem. We got that. Yeah, I'm good at being vulnerable, always there. I'll always let you in and I'll never let you down. But there certainly was one person who was. John 15, as he's telling his disciples right before he dies, and he says, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. Here it is. The wisdom that's gleaned from Proverbs goes far beyond just the book of Proverbs. That there is somebody greater that we can call friend. And if you look at the relationship that Jesus had with his disciples, he let them in. He never let them down. Personal story to close. One of my absolute favorite things about going to Dunamis trips in Edmonton, there was a lot of wisdom that was gleaned, but one of my absolute favorite things about Dunamis that has changed my life is I got to know Pete. Our first Dunamis, we roomed together. I remember our room was so hot. They have the heat up so high. And so we actually opened our window, and it was snowing outside. When I went to bed, I went on my bed, and it was covered with snow. And I was grateful because it was so hot in there. And we're in this little room, and we just experienced God all day, talking about God, talking about Scripture, talking about what God's doing in our lives. And we're sitting on bed, and we're, well, he's on his bed and I'm on mine. We weren't on the same bed. That would be weird. But we're talking about this. What's God doing in your life? What's God talking to you about? What's God doing, Pete? What's God doing, Randy? We are not good at friendship. We're not. We need God. We need God to help us. We need God to give us wisdom about who we're choosing, how we're building those relationships, and how we can keep them. But I will never forget. I will never forget the moment I could say, Pete's my friend. And he's not one of these superficial friends that I'm talking about. He's a profound friend in my life. I'm not going anywhere, Pete. Let's watch the Super Bowl together. Friendships matter. Who we choose, how we build them, how we sustain them matters. But there is so much wisdom to be gleaned when you can call somebody friend, when they know exactly what you're going through, when they always let you in. And they never let you down. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this book of Proverbs, the wisdom that can be gleaned. We thank you for the relationships that we have. And God, if there's somebody here today and they're saying, wow, I don't have those relationships. God, would you speak? Would you comfort? Would you heal? Father, if there are people here today that are feeling isolated and alone, God, would you give a friend the courage? Would you give that person the courage to pick up the phone, to text message, ask somebody out for coffee? Father, I thank you for the friendships that we have. I thank you for the shoulders of people that we stand on, who again and again have rallied and helped and encouraged and empowered and kept our path straight and pointed us to you. Father, I thank you for friendships. I thank you for the ones that I've experienced. I thank you for the ones that will be forged and built. We love you, God, and we thank you that we call you God. And we pray this in your name. Amen.